Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, one and all, for taking some time with us. And it's always amazing to me that there are people everywhere at all kinds of weird times listening to the show, which is part of the magic of this, and we're going to be talking about that in a minute. My guest tonight is Elaine Grohman, who is going to host a new show on Empower Radio, so I thought it would be fun to hear about that. But she is an energy medicine practitioner, so she's just like everyone else that's on our show. And so we will hear about her work as well. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And, you know, we often talk about things that are mysterious and seem like magic, but have you noticed that this radio show and Empower Radio as a place to do radio shows is sort of magic? I mean, how does this work? How in the world does all this come together? People from all over the world talking, and it sounds like we're in the same room. So I thought it would be fun to talk about it and demystify it, even though it's pretty magical. Arthur C. Clarke, I think it was, said, any technology that is sufficiently sophisticated is indistinguishable from magic. And that's pretty much what's going on. Empower Radio, it was the brainchild of Brent Carey, who started it 6 years ago with this idea of creating a platform for positive messages all day. There's lots of talk radio with negative messages, and there's lots of things you can plug into that are telling you things that will not make you feel better. But how about creating a place where all the messages are about how to feel better and improve your life? And so he started it 6 years ago, and I guess about 5 years ago or so, maybe more, Wendy Garrett, who I knew online, asked me if I wanted to be a guest, and I was on Wendy's show, and we had a wonderful time, and she mentioned me to Brent and said, I think he'd be pretty good. So 5 years ago, Brent approached me and said, would you like to be a host on Empower Radio? And I'd done a little bit of stuff, recording things, but I had never had a show of my own before. So it was a little bit of a challenge figuring it out and starting out, but figured out how to do it. And we've been having fun ever since. And Brent came up with the silly X-Files reference of calling it the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Well, the somewhere part is my snarky addition to it. And so we've been having fun, and I hope you've been having fun, but how does it work exactly? So the studio is in Michigan in the United States. And there is a magician there. Well, we call him the producer. And our producer is Matthew Connolly. Hey, Matt. And he sits there and makes it sound like we're all sitting in the same room, except I'm actually sitting in Massachusetts, which is quite a ways away from Michigan. And I'm connecting to the studio on Skype. The guests could be pretty much anywhere in the world. We've had people from Australia and from Europe. Typically, they're from North America, but we've had people from all over. And they will connect either by Skype or by telephone. And because of the magic that Matt can do with his little levers and knobs and things that he does in the studio, it sounds like we're sitting in the same room together. But we're not. It's three people that may be thousands of miles apart, talking, and it comes out on your end as if we're all sitting here together. Pretty cool and pretty amazing. And yes, indistinguishable from magic. So through the wonders of the internet and all the other wonderful technology, software, gizmos and stuff that we have now, we get to talk to you from wherever we are and create these shows. And you get to listen to it from wherever you are whenever it's convenient for you. So even a few years ago, we could not do it as well or as seamlessly as we do it now. So it's very, very exciting to me that you can just grab us from anywhere. And we have something that we'll get all excited about later that makes it even easier. We've been talking about the new mobile app, and that it's coming any second. Well, it's here, and it's pretty cool. So we will talk about that a little bit later. So that's a little bit of the background of the magic of Empower Radio. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's talk to Elaine Grohman. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much, David, for letting me be on your show and talking about my upcoming show.
We will have a wonderful time with that. But the question I always ask every guest is, how did you wind up doing this stuff? How did you wind up doing energy medicine and all the other modalities that you do? How did your life unfold that made that possible?
Well, thanks for asking. And I think that what's so important is when we look back at our lives, we see that bit by bit and event by event, we're kind of being prepared for things that we never would have thought of in advance that we would be doing.
But, and would have been so sure that we couldn't do that we would have run from
it. That's right, or we would have been terrified of the notion. But, you know, I am very fortunate to come from an extraordinary family. And that really is who I have to give my credit to, because of the influence that I have and have had and still have with my family, my siblings, my husband and my children. That really is the grounding work for what I do, because of our experiences being humans and wanting to really understand how do we navigate this world of our emotions, of the experiences that we've had, of the traumas that we've had, of the illnesses perhaps that we've had, and really understand who we are in relation to all of that. And how I got into this, actually, David, was quite by accident, but I was sitting with one of my family members who was dying, and she was literally in the end stages of her disease process and was signed on to hospice care, and I was sitting with her, and this was my aunt. And I am, just to give you a little bit of background, I am number 7 of 9 children.
Wow.
And we had had some losses in our lives when I was a young kid. And my aunt was very special to me. And as I was sitting with her in her own home, as many people do receive hospice care in their own home, she was essentially comatose. And I was just holding her hand and thanking her for all that she had done for us. And this incredible moment literally shifted the direction of my life, in which she opened her eyes as if nothing was wrong with her and looked at me and said, "I see my sister." And I said, "Then you need to go to her, darling, because she will take good care of you." And she went, closed her eyes and went right back to that comatose state. And I literally felt a palpable whoosh in the room, a movement in the room. And I later recognized that I was privileged to feel her spirit leave her body. But what was so impactful to me was the sister that she could see was my mother, who had died when I was 13 years old. Mm. And it was they were the only girls, so they were the only sisters. So there was no question in my mind who she was speaking of. And I was so moved by that experience, because at that point in time, it had been 27 years since my mother had died. And as you can imagine, at 12 years old, I had lost a brother when I was 12. He was 15. And the following year, my mother died very unexpectedly, leaving behind 8 kids. And so our life was turned completely upside down. And so that experience and all of the things that had preceded that experience brought me into this world. But especially the palpable, undeniable experience of feeling her spirit leave her body, that it was,
yes,
became present in the room, and it took my breath away, and I could not get it out of my mind. And she actually died a few days later, and I was so moved by that experience that I was asked to speak at her funeral, and I spoke about that experience. And the hospice chaplain came up to me and asked me if I would ever consider working for hospice. And that's what brought me into the world of energy medicine. Was I actually became a hospice volunteer, and then I became a hospice employee at the same time that I started to study energy medicine. So I was literally in the worst case scenarios in the unquestionable terminal phase of someone's life, as along with all the psychosocial dynamics of family interactions, right, and all of that. And it was just very intense. And that's what started me on my journey nearly 20 years ago.
That's an amazing story.
I'm so grateful for that, because having not been a medical person, being put into this very atypical medical model, because in the hospice situation, it's very what they refer to as interdisciplinary. So it was very common for the physician and the staff to ask me, what did I think was going on?
Right.
Because my job was, when I worked for hospice, my job was to be what was called the volunteer services manager. So my job was to place volunteers with families that were in need, or if a patient needed to have somebody to be with them as they died, or, you know, for any number of reasons. So I had to learn about these disease processes so I could tell people what they were going into and prepare them for that.
Right.
And I took that very seriously, and still do.
Are you still doing that work?
Actually, I do work with a lot of people that are very ill. And in the last 13 years, I've had the great privilege, David, of working with two medical schools in Michigan, both the University of Michigan's Medical School and Wayne State University's Medical School programs, to help people in medicine, particularly medical students, understand what integrative medicine is, and in particular, what energy medicine is. So I do have the opportunity to work with people in medicine and help them to understand the normalcy of this and how it can be employed in the allopathic model of medicine. And even if they don't necessarily believe it or understand it, they need to understand that their patients are seeking me out, and people like myself.
Right.
So they should at least understand it and respect the fact that this is something that their patient is looking for.
What I always say to the skeptical, in particular doctors and psychiatrists, is, what do you do with the results? There are observable results. So whether or not they fit your model of reality, something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew the name of the guy, but there was a NASA, literally rocket scientist, who said, you know, when something happens, we have to seriously consider that it's possible.
Mm-hmm. True. True. That may have been Edgar Mitchell.
Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, it was, you know, all kinds of things that were obviously impossible would happen, and people would argue about whether it was possible. It's like, no, wrong argument.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's a wonderful place to get involved with this. And this is a perfect time for you to tell about all the things that you're doing now and what you offer people.
Well, I'm very fortunate in what I do, because I don't do anything typical every day. I could see individuals. I have a private office that I work out of. So I also do intuitive work, which is very much a part of being an energy healer, and very much a part of being a human being, is to recognize that quote unquote sixth sense is what our forebears understood and used unequivocally. They didn't question it, because it kept them alive, number one, and it helped them to understand that there's so much more in the outside world that connects to us viscerally through our energy field, through our auric field. And we have that direct connection to our nervous system. And the thing that I enjoy so much about what I do is the variety of what I do. So I get to work with people in medicine. I get to work with medical students, faculty, physicians, nurses. I have my own private practice in which I see people to do energy healing. I do intuitive work. I write for a couple of magazines. I've written 2 books. I'm working on my third. I've had some really extraordinary opportunities to meet really wonderful people that are trying to make a difference in the world. And that's really, you know, one of the things that I'll talk to you about a little bit later about why I want to do this radio show, because there is so much good that is happening in this world, and we need to let people understand that. And we really have to take some ownership of who we are as individuals, and to recognize that we can choose to be wounded people, or we can choose to heal from our wounds. And right. And when we choose to heal from our wounds, that is an enormous shift that can help us to be greater contributors to the whole.
Well put.
Thank you.
And a very important shift for people, because it's so easy to tell the story
mm-hmm.
and sit in the middle of it.
Yeah. And one of the things that I also in the past number of years have had a great opportunity, and really I feel a privilege to me personally, is to work with different indigenous elders, both in Peru and in the United States, and some well-known individuals, and to bring back some of the ancient knowledge in terms of the medicine wheels and what that the medicine wheels mean. And so I talk about that with people. But one of the things that I feel very strongly about, David, is when I'm working with individuals, be it in a large group setting where I might be talking to 150 med students, or I am working at someone's bedside as they're dying, my opportunity is to help people understand how important they are. Right. Not how important I am to them, but how important they are. So that they can begin to understand they make a difference in this world. And the work that we have really have to do as healers and as people that have had some kind of understanding of this is we do indeed have to get over our story, because the stories that we have had historically for centuries have kept us limited, have kept us angry, have kept us willing to judge one another, and have kept artificial and real walls between us. And we will never get to a place of peace that way. And peace has to start within each individual. So one of the things that I'm very committed to is when I'm working with people is to show them how to do this for themselves so that they don't abdicate their health to yet one other person. Because they are ultimately the ones who are responsible, because their body responds to every thought they have.
Right.
So they must learn to be responsible for what they're doing, thinking, saying, acting in every aspect of their life. And that's how we really begin to heal, is when we look at things differently, the stories in our lives, the experiences in our lives, and say, okay, who do I choose to be now in relation to that? Instead of just saying, I am a victim, I am a victim, I am a victim.
Right. Right. And there's so much wonderful support for being a victim. So many of
there is, but it, as we can see, it perpetuates victimhood.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't do anything to really do what we say we really want to do, is to have a peaceful world. And we can't have peace if the wound is constantly in front of your face.
Right.
You have to learn how to avert your eyes, or to close your eyes, or to say, yes, this is true. However, it doesn't have to remain that way.
So what kinds of methods and techniques that people might be familiar with, or even if they're new to them, are you using with folks?
Well, the first thing that I, whether I'm teaching someone how to do healing, because I do workshops and I've been teaching for quite some time, I always teach people the importance of being grounded. That's
yes.
First and foremost. Because, and most people, I would venture to say, I would dare to say, most healers have no idea what that even means. It is not to make yourself a tree. You're not a tree. You need mobility. However, you do need to know how to be connected to the living earth. And the human species is the only species on this planet that disconnects from this life-giving force that Mother Earth is. And when we know how to connect to that appropriately and consistently, then our frequency in our body will raise to such a degree that the entirety of our body works appropriately. And that then we can be more stable in our emotions, more stable in our physicality, more stable in our reactions, more stable in our spiritual understanding. Not rigid in all of those things, but stable. Mm-hmm. The stability means then you can grow if you choose. Rigidity means you're stuck there.
Right.
And all we have to do is look at very unhealthy systems and any newscast on that we listen to. And the rigidity of people's thinking is what's caused such untold human suffering. And we have to, as healers, we have a responsibility, I believe, to help to educate people differently about how important they are, as well as what important steps they can take to correct the things that are going awry in their life, so that, number one, they can think clearly, they can make educated choices more clearly instead of just reactionally, and then have a deeper spiritual understanding of what this life actually means. And so that is what I very strongly believe in. And I use a particular modality, although I've been trained in many different modalities, beginning with polarity therapy and certified healing touch practitioner. I've learned Reiki and all those different things. But what I actually use exclusively is what's called sacred geometry and energy medicine. So sacred geometry is an ancient understanding of the patterns that are inherent in nature. And following...
And this is a perfect place for us to stop for a second, because we're going to go to the break. And we'll pick up with sacred geometry when we come back. Let's make sure that everybody knows how to find you online. What's your website?
Thank you. My website is Elaine Grohman. That is ElaineGrohman.com.
Fantastic. And they can make appointments, find out about what you offer and everything else on the website.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you. When is your show going to be starting?
It is going to debut February 23rd, which is a Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the show is called Going Beyond Medicine.
Ooh. Well, that's something we're going to talk about when we get back as well. I'm excited. It's always fun when there are new people doing shows and they're so related to what I do. So it's a wonderful thing. So as you know how these shows work, they've told you already, we go to a 3-minute break. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Elaine Grohman, and this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Styling your hair every day. And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest Elaine Grohman, soon to be host of her own show on Empower Radio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So I want to hear more about sacred geometry, and I want to hear more about your show. So let's start with sacred geometry.
Okay. Well, let's start off by defining sacred geometry. And many people get a little bit nervous when they hear the term sacred and geometry. But sacred geometry is actually something that has been studied forever by great minds. And what it means is anything that is sacred means something that is deserving of deserving of respect and that it has a particular importance in our life. So something that is sacred is important. And geometry literally means the measure of the earth. But what this means is the great minds like Plato, Pythagoras, Leonardo da Vinci, many, many great minds understood when they studied nature at for great lengths of time, they recognized that everything in nature was geometric in patterning.
Right.
So the term sacred geometry was coined meaning the study of the mind of God. Or the study of the patterns that are inherent in nature that have already been present, that creation created long before us. So with doing sacred geometry and energy medicine, it's moving energy in very particular ways that help to escalate and more rapidly help the body assimilate that energy so that pain can be abated quicker, healing can happen quicker, and it just helps to follow the natural patterns of pathways of energy in the body. And that's what it is. That's exclusively what I use. And I have been teaching this modality actually since January of 2002. So 14 wow. years I've been teaching this, and wow. all over the place. And
well, I would love to hear more detail, because the work that I do is remote healing. And one of the gifts I was given is seeing the energetic grid of buildings and people and all kinds of things. So
well,
I can see the distortions. I can see the distortions in the geometry. Mm-hmm. For them to be reset to the original geometry, which may not be the geometry that you're talking about or seeing, but is the version I was given so I could do the work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if we look at the fact that just in frequencies, for instance, mm-hmm. most people don't recognize that if you were to look at an illustration that many people have seen of the chakra system, for instance, mm-hmm. they notice that the main chakras, there's hundreds of chakras all over the body, but the main chakras that run up the spinal cord are always distinctively indicated with various colors. So red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. But many people mm-hmm. don't question why. Why is it that color? Because in the whole body is harmonics. And in terms of energy, each one of the chakras, starting with the root chakra, red is in the lowest visible light spectrum, which means it's the slowest, the most methodical, if you will. And there's been some evidence to prove it is the only frequency that blood products can be made in.
Mm.
So our body has different frequencies that blend with one another in not big jumps, but in very incremental jumps, that as it goes from red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, it allows the harmonics of the body, if you could use that term, meaning the vibration of the body, to work in unison.
Mm-hmm.
So the body cannot work with just one frequency exclusively because of the differentiation in the organ systems and the purpose of those organ systems. So that's important for people to look at and think about differently. So there's a lot of things that we could talk about this, David, because it's a huge subject. And I'm learning more every day.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it always surprises me when people who focus on science only focus on the material form, the particle form of the physical world, when we know that only 4% of everything is physical. The rest of it is energy that we can't yet measure with technology.
Right. And in truth, science is the study of what is.
Right.
And then trying to figure out what is this that we're studying. And so it's not that we need to prove a theorem. We need to be willing to recognize that there is this unbelievable panacea of information that has already been created and has been here for millennium.
Right.
And if we get out of our own way, then we can learn something.
Right. Right. It always amazes me how whatever culture you go to, if you look at the mystical teachings and the indigenous healing teachings, going back, I think it's 9,000 years is the first recorded stuff that's around. And it's all the same. It's culturally different, but it's talking about exactly the same things.
Yes, and that's true.
And the methods are frequently exactly the same.
Right, because we live on the same planet.
Right.
And the things that we need are the same no matter where we are on the planet. We need water, we need air, we need the earth, we need to be able to grow our food, we need to be able to have shelter, and all of those things are what we need to look at, because that's what the planet is offering to us.
Right, right. We've just been making it hard lately.
Well, yeah, for the last several millennium.
What are we thinking?
Hopefully we can get it together without needing to point fingers at one another, because that just perpetuates the problem. But instead of just looking at it and say, okay, you know what? Perhaps we were wrong. Perhaps we can just look at something that might just give us a better and broader perspective here. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important. That's what's important.
Right. Well, it's a wonderful approach to healing work. And sounds fantastic. And I will want to pick your brain some more at some other point.
Well, I am happy to. And the one thing that I would say is that the people in medicine that I work with are actually craving this information. Mm-hmm. There's certainly many people that in any discipline on the planet are going to resist anything that is new or appears to be new or different from what they have been taught. But those that are wise know that we're in such a state in our world that in this chaotic world and in the form of governance and medicine and education, everything is in a state of chaos. But that's a good place to be sometimes because it cannot be sustained in chaos. And when we understand that, then we need to understand, okay, there's something else that perhaps is better.
Right. One of the things I was told is before any great transition, there will be a period of great chaos.
Always.
As the undercurrent starts before the change happens, and the bigger the chaos, the greater the transformation will be when it finally comes. So
right.
Here we are. Something's coming.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Something's always coming.
So let's talk about your show.
Well, thank you. It's interesting. When I had my show when I was on CBS on Psychic Radio, I was given a wonderful opportunity, but I didn't want it to just be about psychic phenomena and that kind of thing. I wanted it to be about what can we do differently. So I was invited to name the show and have a little bit different twist to it. So going beyond medicine and what I'm going to relaunch on Empower Radio is helping people look beyond the quick fix.
Yes.
And that's why the word medicine. But medicine itself, the word medicine, most people don't understand its origin. The word medicine does not mean pharmaceutical. Medicine means good things or bad things. So if you were to talk to a Native American, for instance, or any indigenous individual, they would say this is good medicine or bad medicine.
Right.
And what that means and what our thinking has been so shifted from is we cannot look at just simply a quick fix. We have to look at what is the cause, what is the underlying cause in many, many things in our world. So I'm so excited to be able to bring a lot of different guests that are doing a lot of different things, not just in energy medicine, not just in alternative healings, but what are they doing for the planet? What are they doing for systems that are not functioning? What are they doing to help to shift in large ways and in small ways the thinking of themselves and the people around them, because that is essentially good medicine. So right. when we really look at, you know, yes, there's a time and a place for pharmacological agents. If we're in pain, if there's something that needs to be addressed immediately, but then we need to understand how do we heal. So one of the things that I like to talk to with people in medicine is, you know, in fact, I just had this conversation today with somebody, is when we finally get to the point that we have a disease process, that is the end point. That has been affected by often years and years and years of thinking and behavior.
Right.
This is not something that creeps up on us, but when we finally become aware of a diagnosis, we think, how did that happen? Where did this come from? Well, when we learn to look at how do we think and how we think affects us biologically, because every single thought triggers an electrical chemical reaction, which creates a hormonal shift, and then our body goes into immediate action based on that.
Right.
So our thinking triggers I would dare to say that our thinking precipitates every disease that we have. And because we know for a fact that stress is a precursor to most illnesses that we see prevalently, well, stress doesn't just come down and fall in your lap. Your stress is how you choose to to respond to things. And that is a learned response. So we have to, because we're in chaos, we have to learn and how to think differently. So there's many different topics of that I'm one of the, my very first guest I'm very excited about bringing on is a gentleman by the name of Michael Fitzpatrick, who is a cello virtuoso known all over the world, who for the last 20 years has worked very closely with the Dalai Lama. And he is doing work with music to literally help to heal the vibration of Mother Earth herself. And it is such an extraordinarily insightful guy who is not only could stand on the stage with very famous musicians and does and has played in the White House, has played in the Vatican, has played at just about every amazing venue you can imagine in the world. But is the most approachable human being. And so it's these kind of individuals that I want to bring to the listening audience to help them understand there's something that every human being can do to help to make this place a better place to live.
Right.
And so we have to look beyond medicine. We have to look beyond the simple reason. Or this, you know, or the story that we choose to identify with, or whatever's immediately happening. That's happening. Things that are happening now happen because of years and years often of neglect. And we have to be willing now to prevent that kind of neglect from happening so that when our children and grandchildren are the adults in this world, then they don't have to have the repercussions of our poor thinking.
Right.
And that's
the sins of the parents are visited upon the children.
You know, I would, yes, but I would use a different term. I would say the lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin itself, just that word, is such a charged notion.
Right. Well, that's how it wound up in Western culture.
I understand.
In Western
culture,
it did. But it's the mistakes. Lack of understanding of the parents and the grandparents wind up being the way the child does what they do.
Right, right. And, you know, and I think that one of the things that's really important now, David, is for us as human beings, as women and men, to understand that we're in this together. And especially as women, as we can see, all over the planet have been so defamed and demoralized and relegated to in some places non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a single human being born on this planet that has not come from somebody's womb.
Right.
Unless you're a petri dish baby, which is few and far between. And we have to recognize that this is Mother Earth. This is a divine feminine being that births life constantly. And when we begin to think about one another differently without holding one another in contempt of past events of past generations or even of our parents and the generation that they lived in. You know, we have to learn how to really bring to the forefront what we can do to make it a lasting and meaningful change in our world. And so the phrase going beyond medicine really means to look beyond the quick fix, to look beyond what has already been historically present, and to learn to think differently and be more creative in our thinking and collaborative in our thinking. So I have quite a wonderful group of people lined up to speak about a lot of different things, which I'm very excited about.
Sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to your show. And we can actually also wax poetic about the new mobile app that just launched in the last few days. If you had a chance to look at it.
I'm excited about it. I have not. I just learned about it, I think, 2 days ago from Brent, and I have not seen it. So you just go to the App Store and download it? Is that what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah, I just downloaded it, and I haven't had a chance to really play with it a whole lot, but it's got so many more features than the old one, and looks like there's are a few things that aren't fully functional yet, but that always happens. Sure. But we're going to be able to go to each show and look through the archive and listen to old shows, which is just wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, so if I want to listen to your show while I'm at the gym and I missed the one from last week, I will be able to, be able to do that without any problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got meditation music and looks absolutely fantastic. So everybody who's listening to the show, go to the store for whichever platform you're on, the Android, the Play Store or the Apple Store, and download the Empower Radio app and give you an opportunity to listen to all your favorite shows whenever you would like to without having to go to the website, find it in the archive and all of that stuff. So it's very, very cool. Very slick.
Very great. Thanks for that tip, David.
Well, it's just it's another part of the magic. Here we are, and I always, I sit sometimes and look at my cell phone in complete and utter awe, because I remember being in a hiking group and stopping for lunch, and this guy pulled out a thing about the size of a brick.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-meter walkie-talkie. He was an amateur radio operator. And on the back of it was a touchpad. So he looked up in a little book the repeater code for the nearest amateur radio club, coded it in, put in his club's code, and then he could dial a telephone from the mountain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so slick. I don't want to get the next level of amateur radio license to be able to do that, really. But, that is so cool. We've got to be able to have those. And now not only do we have cell phones, which are magic, if you actually look at how cell phones pass the signal from tower to tower, it's just magic. But we can listen to everything in the world and, have our calendar and we carry a computer around with us.
Yeah, I have friends in Europe that I know are listening to the show and are very interested in, tell me how we can listen to Empower Radio. And I mean, they're halfway across the world. And
right.
What a beautiful thing to be able to, it's mind-boggling to think that my grandparents came from Ireland and they had to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a very perilous voyage for my father to be born in the United States in 1919.
Yep.
And it's just, that sounds, it's nearly a century ago,
right.
And it's amazing to think, oh my goodness, how much has happened and what will happen as time accelerates, because the information that we know is coming full circle. And one of the things that I want to share is with people throughout the various shows is the understanding that Indigenous peoples understood that this time that we are living in now is so pivotal in human consciousness.
Yes.
In human evolution. And a dear mentor and a gentleman that I've studied with who is a Native American, he's in his 80s, and he has talked about the times that his elders wanted to die so that they could be born into this time frame.
Right.
So that they could witness humanity shift into a greater awareness and a greater capacity to be responsible human beings.
Right. I love the Hopi elder saying, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes. And we really need to take that to heart.
Yeah. This is the time. We're the ones.
That's right.
Even though we're looking at it and going, what? How?
Well, I think that what we really need to do, and I think that that's one of the things that both you and I and many people on this planet that are becoming more and more aware, is we're feeling that sense of urgency that we cannot play dumb anymore. We cannot play dumb. And playing dumb is, you know, just look at this horrific, horrific experience that happened in Flint, Michigan.
Right.
With unbelievable incompetence and negligence and I hate to say the word evil, but it's evil.
Yeah.
That people would be willing to look the other way and sacrifice the lives of other human beings.
For money.
This is for money, for prestige, for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not acceptable. And it can never be acceptable.
But there was a time when it never would have been known, and things are showing up much more quickly than they ever were before because there's so much light. There's no place to hide anymore.
And the internet and these cell phones, nothing can be hidden.
Right.
At least not
for
long.
Obviously, we could keep talking forever, and as always happens with my wonderful guests and new friends, we're out of time.
thank you so much, David.
Well, let's make sure people know where to find you again. What's your website?
My website is www.Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Grohman, Grohman.com. And I look forward to beginning Going Beyond Medicine on Power Radio beginning February 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to your show.
Thank you.
And we... more and many more conversations with you. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about.
I look forward to it, David. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
My pleasure. Stay on so we can chat after we go off the air.
Sure.
My guest tonight has been Elaine Grohman, who is a host on Empower Radio, starting her new show, Going Beyond Medicine. And look forward to many more conversations with her. And if by any chance you got curious about this weird guy, David, and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view is all kinds of technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a free 20-minute assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it might be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about this show, it's cleverly hiding at thefarkasfiles.com. And you can find the archive of the show, 5 years of incredible interviews with wonderful people. And now you can do the same thing for the mobile app. So that is going to be so much fun and so much simpler. I was just thinking about how cool it will be to listen to shows when I'm at the gym. The shows are all also streaming on iTunes, podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and probably every other conceivable streaming media. Just search for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files, and you will find them, and you can, or any of the other shows. So, there are so many ways that you can plug into this, and it's so exciting to be a part of putting positive messages out to people so you don't have to listen to all the weird, toxic stuff that is most of what is around. So you can give yourself some nurturing stuff to listen to instead of the junk. And, you know, besides everything else, it's fun. So I hope I demystified some of the magic behind how Empower Radio works and how this show works. Again, many thanks to my producer, Matthew Connolly, for all the good work he does quietly in the background where you can't see or hear him, but we couldn't do this without him. So again, thank you one and all for being with us. Until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.